We saw on Sunday morning, sometimes when you see people in the Bible, sometimes you see a large story and maybe many chapters and many chapters sometimes describing their deeds and their sin, even like Solomon. But then sometimes you just see a name and that's about it. And that's what we see tonight. And there's a few things here. We won't take too long to look at this, but the entire Bible deserves to be preached, and I do think there's some things to see here. We're in Judges chapter 12, and we're going to look at three men in verses 8 through 15. The first one is named Ibzan, and his name means purity or white. He was a judge of Israel 7 years. The next one is a man in verse 11 whose name is Elon, and Elon's name means strength or mighty. He was a judge of Israel 10 years. The third one is in verse 13. His name is Abdon, and his name means hard worker or servitude. He was a judge for 8 years. So for 25 years, these three men served, and just about the only thing we know about them is that two of them had a lot of children. There's just not a whole lot of description about them. It doesn't say that they did this or didn't do that. It doesn't say that they were good or they were bad. The Bible just names them. And I've got to believe, I don't have any trouble believing this, that the fact that God chose to name them must mean that they accomplished something. Amen? Now let's put it this way. They did what many of us do, and that is they took the place that God gave them, and they stayed there until God took them out. And interesting, in all three cases, unless there's something I'm missing by reading between the lines, in all three cases, these men served until they died. It says in verse 10, then died Ibzan. It says in verse 12, Elon died. And then it says in verse 15 that Abdon died. So they served for as long as they could. And what more could God ask? Amen? I thought to myself, if God was going to write some verses about your life or about my life, ask yourself, if God was going to write a few verses about your life, what would he write? Interesting thought. How would he describe you? What strengths might he point out? Or what obedience might he mention? Or what service might he mention? What failures might he mention? Because the Bible is a book that talks about people honestly. It talks about their successes and their failures. It talks about their obedience and their sin. And you know, even Lot, you think, how bad can a fella get? Even Lot in Peter is called just. The Bible says Lot was just. He was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, but he was a just man. He was saved. You'll see him in heaven. So I asked myself, how would the Bible describe me? And what service, what faith have I exhibited? What obstacles have we overcome? What was our walk with God? What was the nature of it? How would God describe our end, success, failure, somewhere in between? There's not a lot said about these three fellows, not as much as about some people. Let me ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word. We'll read these verses. Take a few looks at some things we might see here in verses 8 through 15. The Bible says in Judges chapter 12, and after him, Ibzan of Bethlehem judged Israel. And he had 30 sons and 30 daughters, whom he sent abroad and took in 30 daughters from abroad for his sons. And he judged Israel 7 years. Then died Ibzan and was buried at Bethlehem. And after him, Elon, a Zebulunite, judged Israel. And he judged Israel 10 years. And Elon, a Zebulunite, died and was buried in Ajalon, in the country of Zebulun. And after him, Abdon, the son of Hillel, a Pirathonite, judged Israel. And he had 40 sons and 30 nephews that rode on 70 ass colts, and he judged Israel 8 years. And Abdon, the son of Hillel, the Pirathonite, died and was buried in Pirathon in the land of Ephraim in the mount of the Amalekites. Let's have a word of prayer if we could, please. Father, tonight as we look at these few verses, this interlude between one famous judge and another, We see these three men that held down the fort that they were given, that don't seem to have fought any notable battles. They don't seem to have faced any opposition that is recorded. They just dealt with the details of life from day to day like many of us do. But Lord, you've seen fit to keep the record of their service in the Bible. And we know that you have a record of our service. You have a record of our life. Our sins have been blotted out. Our sins have been covered in the blood of the Lamb. But there will be a day when we'll give an account for the things that we've done in this body. And we know that it's recorded. And I just pray tonight that we would pause for a moment and maybe see a few things about these men, and also consider some things about ourselves that might help us to have a better record when that day comes when we stand before you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I was driving down the road today, and I drove by a church. It wasn't a Baptist church, but they had something on the sign that I liked, and it was just very plain spoken. It said, "Make Jesus your Lord." That's a good thing to say, amen? And not a lot of churches would be willing to put that on the sign anymore. And as I'm driving down the road, having read that, and I looked to see what kind of church it was, and I thought, okay, that's interesting. And I'm glad that somebody, whoever it is, would proclaim the truth. And then I asked myself, as I went down the road, if someone was to come to you and I, would we be able to explain to them honestly, or to exemplify through our deeds, that Jesus is the Lord of our life? Amen? Amen. And when should he be the Lord of our life? Always. Always. Amen. And so today, as I was going through my day, once in a while I'd think to myself, okay, let me see what I'm doing here. Is Jesus the Lord of my life? Is this what he would want? Amen? That's not a bad way to live life, is it? Just to go hour by hour, perhaps less, and say, what I'm doing right now, is this something Jesus would want me to be doing? Or is this something that is serving him, or is accomplishing something for him? And if we would live a life where Jesus really was the Lord of our life, I guarantee you, whether or not you're ever written in the Bible, it would be a notable life. Amen? Amen. A life that is not notable, a life that doesn't deserve any record, would be a life that is wasted. And think of the ways people waste their lives. They waste their lives seeking things that have no eternal value. They waste their lives seeking, you know, maybe pleasure or gratification for themselves. They want to be famous. They want to be wealthy. They want to be powerful, whatever. And if we would make the Lord Jesus Christ the center of our life, not just in word, but in deed, we would have a notable life. Now, you probably, if you're like me, you think of life sometimes as just going from one detail to the next. Oh, there's some big things, and I might look back in my life, and you can as well, and see some big things that you've accomplished somewhere along the way. But you know, there are a lot of people that have accomplished something big that didn't really get a whole lot done in the long term for God. I'm thinking, for example, of Solomon. He built the temple, and he gets credit for that, and he did a great job there. But at the end of his life, there was failure, and there was some idolatry, and there was judgment of his sin. Just because you did something big doesn't mean you ended well. Amen? Amen. What would you like to have God say about your life? And I think these gentlemen have gotten more to their credit than you might think. Because, for one thing, God doesn't stop and have to point out any of their sins. He does point out some of their prosperity, and we'll look at that in just a minute. I think even their names indicate some positives. And then I really think the thing that I would like to see in my life and you want to see in your life is persistence. Just keep on going. And, you know, maybe you live a life that doesn't have any mountaintops, but keep on going down the road. Amen? Amen. One thing, I get a kick out of the things that people say. We had a fellow in our church in Maryland, and he heard somebody way back when he was younger talk about a hedge of thorns. And every time he'd pray, he'd talk about, ask the Lord to put a hedge of thorns around, keep the devil out. Okay, that's nice. And he'd say that every single time he prayed, stuck in my mind. Brother Mark McMahon, every Sunday night, he says something that sticks in my mind. He talks about the missionaries on a journey. And they are, amen? We all are. And you want to keep on going, persistence. Let's look at those three things just for a moment. The positives. And again, I've already mentioned these three names. One of them is noted for his purity. One of them is noted for his strength. And one of them is noted for his hard work. Wouldn't you like to have those three attributes pointed out by God? Amen. This was a man or a woman that was pure. Folks, that's a tall order. Purity is not just an appearance. Purity is a thought life. Purity is a lot of things. And the devil will fight you tooth and nail to try to keep you from having a pure life. And God can give us that, and we pray that he would. This one fellow was known for his purity. Wouldn't you like to be known like Elon for his strength? Now, I got to remind you of something. The Bible says that when we're weak, God is strong. Amen. Some people have different types of strength. Some people have maybe more physical strength. Brother Greg walked 6 miles. I haven't walked 6 miles in a long time, Brother Greg. And when I did, I probably wasn't walking too far the next day at all. And praise the Lord for folks that have some physical strength, even when they're up in the years. But there are some folks, there are some of us that aren't that strong, but our God is strong. Amen. There's some of us that may not have as much stamina as others, but our God can, honestly, folks, when we are weak and God is strong, then God gets the glory. But it still should be said, strength was present and strength was evident. The strength of God in our lives is what we're looking for there. Here's a man noted for his strength. And then another positive here with Abdon, this idea of hard work. Oh, that is not popular today, is it? It's just been such a learning experience this year teaching algebra with these young people. I had not taught every single day for week after week after week, and we're about to finish the 18th week here next week. I hadn't done that in a high school class in a long time. I had taught high school Bible back in Maryland for an entire year with 7th and 8th graders a couple of times. But I got these 5 algebra students, and I can assure you, a couple of them just don't want to work. And I wrote this little article in the bulletin last Sunday on the back of the bulletin about that some days we come to class, and one or two of them, they're just not wanting to work. One of them lately has been kind of ill, and I'll start talking, and she'll put her head down. That's really discouraging when you're a teacher, and someone puts their head down. Or another one that gets distracted and wants to see how the table's built, or wants to see what's going on outside, or, you know, we've got to build a castle with his pens or whatever. And I ask myself the question, and I put it on the bulletin. I wonder if we don't do that to God sometimes. Where God's wanting to talk to us and want to teach us, and we're preoccupied over here with something that doesn't make any difference. We can work hard, can't we? Amen. Can't we? Can't we be there when we're supposed to be there? Amen. Can we stay as long as we're supposed to stay and get the job done and come back later if we have to? Amen. Hard work is something we're all capable of within our limited strength, of course. But these three positives are named about these three men. Those aren't accidents, the purity, the strength, and the hard work. And those are all certainly things that we ought to demonstrate in our lives. Now, I mentioned the positives. Here's some. Two of them demonstrate a type of prosperity, and it's really fascinating. There's not any mention of their wealth or of their accomplishments, not that kind of thing. But Ibzan had 30 sons and 30 daughters, and Abdon had 40 sons and 30 nephews on 70 colts. And I guess colts aren't free, amen? There had to be some prosperity there. And, you know, you think of prosperity, where does that come from? God, amen? You say, Pastor, I don't have much. You have everything God has, amen. And he can meet your needs. You say, Pastor, I've got a lot. Well, it all belongs to God, amen? And you say, well, Pastor, I have some needs that aren't met. God can meet them. And my God shall provide all your needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. And he can meet our needs financially, our needs spiritually, all of our needs. There is a prosperity that ought to be evident in the life of a Christian, whether or not they've got a bank balance, whether or not they've got tremendous health, whether or not they've got accomplishments in this life, houses and lands and those kinds of things, there's a prosperity. We should not, as Christians, walk around saying, "How poor am I?" Amen? We ought to walk around with that attitude that we have a God that can do whatever needs to be done to meet our needs in our life. Amen? Now, He expects some things from us. He expects us to be responsible with our money. I talk a little bit every now and then about tithing. I think that's very important. And I know when I'm faithful to God, He's very faithful to me. Sometimes even when I'm not faithful, He's faithful. But He's especially faithful. God loves a cheerful giver and so on. But we should not have the attitude that since we're Christians, we just don't have anything. And folks, we've got more than anybody else in the world. We have eternal life.
Amen.
We have more than anybody else in the world. We have a God to go to with our needs and with our problems. Dan Ball is a classic example of this. Now, this is a man that's not walking around saying my life is terrible. This is a man that's walking around saying I've got a great God. Now, he's got cancer, but he's got a God that's bigger than that cancer.
Amen.
And if he does step into eternity, not such a bad thing to be absent from the body, he's present with the Lord.
Amen.
And in the meantime, he can glorify God by not walking around with a woe is me, oh, things are terrible. You've heard me talk about Eeyore. You know, you've seen Eeyore and Winnie the Pooh. You know, Eeyore's the donkey, and he's always got his head down. And apparently they tack his tail on, but it falls off all the time. And Eeyore walks around, and if you say to Eeyore, "Eeyore, it's a nice sunny day," he'll say, "Yeah, but it's going to rain later." You know, he's just always looking at the bad side of things. That should not be us. Amen? We may not, and we should not have confidence in riches in this world. We have confidence in our God.
Amen.
And there should be an evidence of prosperity about us. The positives, the strength, the purity, the hard work, the prosperity, the sons and daughters which God gave them, by the way, your family came from the Lord. And then, I mentioned it and I'll just be brief here, the persistence. They did not quit. When is the time to quit? When you step into eternity or the Lord comes back.
Amen?
Amen?
Right.
Don't quit. Say, "Pastor, it's just not worth it." Yeah, it's worth it. Why do we do what we do? For us or for the Lord Jesus Christ? Listen to me. Somewhere along the way, a bunch of folks decided we're not going to quit. And Sunday morning, a soul got saved.
Amen.
About 1,000 years from now, somebody walk up to Damien in heaven and say, "Hey, brother, do you think it was worthwhile that this church stuck around long enough until the Lord brought you here and you got led to Christ? Are you glad you're in heaven?" You'll say, "Well, Pastor, he might have got saved some other way." Yeah, he might not have. God used us. Amen?
Amen?
It's worth it. It's worth it. We talked to a fellow last night, and he needs to be encouraged. I can't do a lot of things, but I can encourage people. I can remind people that when my days were dark, and I faced some dark, dark days, that God was there to get me out. And I can be an encouragement to people. Don't quit. Persistence. These folks... 25 years, Israel had a judge because these three men were willing to serve. Say, "Pastor, we don't see one single thing they accomplished." Yeah, I do. For 25 years, they stuck it out, and Israel had a judge, and all the responsibilities that went with being a judge were fulfilled by these three men. And folks, we may never have any write down notable type accomplishments in our life, although I think you will, but we can be faithful. We can be persistent, and that's what they were. And by the way, the Bible says, "In due season you shall reap if you faint not." They all served until death. They came from everywhere geographically. I didn't look this up on the map, but Bethlehem, Zebulun, and Ephraim are in different areas in the nation. And it doesn't really matter where you come from. You can still serve God. You can still be persistent. They came from everywhere. They all seem to have had respectable burials in their home region. And I guess I could add this to that in the context of burials, and that is they were remembered. Now, I won't even go there. The world has a whole lot of things about thinking about things. Like if you remember somebody, they're not really dead. No, they're really with the Lord. They're not really dead. But the point is so much is that these weren't the kind of people we see elsewhere in the Bible that when they died, people said, "Good riddance. Just leave them where they are." Like, was it Jezebel that the dogs licked the blood off of her? And it wasn't like that. These were people that had lived a life that deserved some remembrance, and so they were properly buried, and they were well cared for at the end of their life. And I do believe that's appropriate, by the way. I'm not sure I have mentioned this, but I think it's right for a Christian to be buried and not burned. Amen? We're not pagans. Amen? Now, problems. Did they have problems? Folks, doesn't everybody have problems? But God didn't see fit to mention any of them. He never talks about their faith. He does mention purity in one case, but not a lot about holiness, not a lot about prayer, nothing about their walk with the Lord. Nothing is said about the notable events in their life. Yeah, everybody's got problems, but they kept on, they served God anyway. This isn't the most exciting passage in the Bible. But if God was to ask you and I to lead an ordinary life with problems, with blessings, with work, with opportunities, with gifts he's given us to serve him, and if we just walked down the road until God took us home, would that be okay? Amen. 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 They didn't quit. They used what God gave them. You'll meet them in heaven someday, and you can ask them what else they did. I guess we'll find out then. But meanwhile, let's emulate them as much as we can. Let's not quit. Let's use what God's given us and keep on serving him. Amen?
Amen.
And who knows? God may give you some exciting, enormous accomplishments you never, ever thought. But even if he doesn't, just serve him with what you got.